we're in this new series we're starting. It's a six-week series. And let me start with a story. So some of you may be aware of the story because I can't remember what stories I share about, you know, my long life so far. I think it's long. My kids think I'm old. You know, that kind of thing. But I'm going all the way back now to my Top Ramen bachelor days. Okay, so in my early 20s, some of you can identify Top Ramen bachelor days. Okay, so didn't have a lot of money. I'd become a Christian, started following Jesus more closely, and they had this singles retreat. Okay, remember I was a bachelor. They had a singles retreat. It was over in Gresham, I think, at the time, and they wanted some money for it at the time, and it was $45-$50 at that time. Okay, early 80s, guys, okay, so I'm dating myself, but I'm just saying that was a bunch of money back then, okay? And so I didn't have the money to go. And all the other singles, they wanted me to go, and it seemed like I just didn't see a way to do it. And there's a couple, let me just say this in a kind way, little old ladies. One was a widow, one was, I don't think she ever married. And they were up in age, senior ladies. And they put their money together. One's name was Nellie, and the other's was Hazel. Nellie and Hazel put some money together, extra. Might have even been sacrificial, I don't know, so that Dave could go to this singles retreat. And I was told about it, you know, because they offered it, and I was told it was them, and I was like, wow. I'd never really experienced that before, like this kind of a thing. Okay, so I got to go to the singles retreat, and it happened to be a pivotal time for me, because I was kind of a fledgling Christian, kind of, you know, toying with the faith a little bit. I believed, and I come to a better, but I didn't know how engaged to become in the church with people like you, right? What kind of one of those? Some of you might be saying that's kind of where I'm at, you know. But the idea is, I got connected like I never had before at that retreat and went on. My faith started to grow and I propelled ahead out of that experience that was given to me through the generosity of a couple ladies that have been long-term members of the church. I'm sure they were giving significantly generously already, and here's an opportunity to help a Top Ramen bachelor out to get to this event that may help to connect him closer to God, and may who knows what that investment, that generosity of some money pooled together could do for the trajectory of my life. Oh, my friends, that became a milestone for me. It marked some growth, as I said, but this financial contribution on their part was an important way that they could help me. And I look back on that today and I go, wow. It actually inspired me to want to become like them to help people. But here's the question I asked. Where did Nellie and Hazel get this generous spirit from? Why would they do this for me? I wasn't close to them. I kind of knew who they were, but why would they do this for me? I asked that question. I wanted to get some answers to that question. Here's the deal. I believe that they knew Jesus. Many years of following in the faith, very engaged with following Jesus. They knew Jesus. So in fact, they knew that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so they gave to me and they were blessed. They gave to me and they were blessed. They knew Jesus said that. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And so and Jesus said that in reference to helping those that are struggling, have a little bit of poverty going on in dealing with that. And then I believe that they knew, and obviously they knew the great plan of God that Jesus declared in a statement to a religious leader, a Jewish leader at the time named Nicodemus. And it became a very popular verse that's used often today. You know this verse for the most part. I'm sure most of you do. For God so loved the world. Jesus said these words. For God so loved the world, look at the next words, that he gave. Now, he just didn't give a little bit of, you know, material support to us. No, he gave his one and only son. Talk about a gift. This thing's, you know, whoa. He gave his one and only son. Why? So that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. People like you, people like me. And Paul the Apostle would appeal to the life of Jesus, this Jesus that Nellie and Hazel knew. He'd appeal to the life of Jesus when he stated in some words and encouragement that he wanted the Christians at the church at Corinth. We call it Corinthians. There's a first letter and a second letter. And he said these words, for you know, as he was encouraging them to give toward famine relief in faraway Judea. And he says, for you know the grace, that's this gift of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Talk about sacrificial giving of his own life. And Paul would say in conclusion to his words to encourage them to give financially, to be generous in giving, to help people even across the waters that they'd never lock eyes with. He'd say these words, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. There's no words, in other words, for that gift that God gave to them, to you, and to me. The gift of Jesus Christ. God is a generous giver. Amen? God is a generous giver. He gives generously for the sake of lifting our lives. That's why he does it. He doesn't just do it for his own acclaim, although we give him that. He doesn't just do it for his own honor, although we give him that. He doesn't do it just for his own glory, although we do want to glorify God for what he gives us, no doubt. But he does it because he cares about your life, and he cares about my life. He's intimately acquainted with what you're going through right now. Whatever struggle it might happen to be, whatever euphoria you might happen to feel at this little season, you might be at the top of the mountain looking at the greater heights, or you might be down in a valley and you're struggling some. God knows, and he loves you more than any other person in here or out there. He does. He cares about you so much that he cares about your eternity. He knows the priorities for our lives. And he wants us to follow in his ways to bring those priorities to pass. Isn't he awesome? I believe Nellie and Hazel were acquainted with the God that is that God. They were acquainted. And so they were willing to help, to have this generous spirit, to give me a gift like this. And their generosity opened my heart to the power of what's a very important and very practical way I could, in my own life, help someone with money, mammon, this stuff that everybody gets so hyped up about in our world, right? You know my story. That's what I was all hyped up about in my early 20s. My big, big lifelong goal was to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And I was geared up to walk over anybody that I needed to get there. In other words, I was greedy. That's just where I was, folks. Some of you might be, yeah, okay, I get that. You know, it's like, well, yeah, because with money comes power, with money comes security, with money comes, you know, you can do stuff. Money has some power that way. And so that's where I was. And so I was starting to make a change through Nellie and Hazel's bit of help toward me. It affected me. It affected me. And I'm so grateful. And this is one of those pivotal moments in my past that has helped me. One important way to help people, my friends, we're going to look at four over the next 6 weeks. We're going to spend 2 weeks on this one because this one's really important. This one connects us pretty quickly. Not only is our heart connected to our wallets or our purses, it's connected to our treasure, But other people, their hearts are too. Okay? I'd suggest. Jesus made that statement to us all. And so as people gave of their heart by giving of their money to me, no strings attached, that affected me. It affected my heart. Right? And so think about that. How could I be a helper of people's lives? How could I lift people? How could I give them a helping hand up to see the greater horizon of what God has designed for them, the purpose for their lives? It really affected me that way, my friends. And so I want us to look at today just three ways this idea of generosity helps people. Number one, and if you want to follow along and fill in a blank, you can. Some of you like to do that. Others of you, no, it's all up here. That's good. You can remember. But the idea is generosity helps people with material needs. Material would be your fill in there. Look at when the church first started, it was recorded in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. It says it's a history of the first 30 years of the church. The first thing that happened as people began to look at this new group, some 3,000 people came to Christ by trusting in Jesus and what he did, that he was from God as the very Son of God. And then they repented in the sense of they started to follow and said, we're going to follow God. We're going to do his way now. We're going to believe in Jesus and whatever this new arrangement called a new covenant in Jesus, in his blood, right? That's an agreement with God. Whatever that is, we're going to follow it. And then they were baptized. Some 3,000 people, the Bible says, were baptized. Then there's these words that follow. And it's kind of interesting to get the first take on the church, gathered people of God under the name of Jesus. And you know what it says? They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They didn't have to. This wasn't a governmental system that said, we're going to take from you and give to you. No, this was free will. We're going to, look at this, they sell property and possessions in order to be able to give a lift, a hand up to those that didn't have, that were coming from around the Mediterranean world to the great feast day at that time of Pentecost, and they would hang out and be able to connect more with this new covenant in Jesus, to learn about Jesus, to get the teaching before they went home. And so there was some needs as people had to extend vacations. They didn't have or equipped with enough, as we would understand that this was what probably happened. Then look later on, the Apostle Paul, I call him the church planting apostle, because he really was. He planted churches all throughout Europe and Asia Minor of our day. And look what it says. You'll be enriched in every way, as he's telling them that I'm coming by to collect an offering, and this is for famine relief. It's their disaster relief fund that they were collecting, and he was encouraging them to be generous, to give people a lift that are struggling with famine, not having enough to eat over in Judea. That's across the waters, people they had never met before. And he's coming to make a collection. And so he says, you will be enriched, he says, in every way so that you could be generous on every occasion, that through your generosity you result in thanksgiving to God. Wow, he's making this connection like I experienced with Hazel and Nellie. Isn't that cool? The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. And so he was going to come by and collect the offering. They were going to send people so that they'd secure that amount of money in the traveling group as they went back to Judea, representing these churches that were going to help people that were struggling in another place. Well, friends, every year we help people materially as a church. From the get-go, we've done this, and once a year we take this, what we call Christmas offering. It's a year-end offering. Year-end's kind of a nice time to raise some extra funds. People want to give a little bit more. Sometimes it's connected to tax breaks and such like that. But this is a Christmas offering we're doing again this year. So here's the way we do it. The first year we raised $4,000, but we have to spend that money in the next year. So in 2016, we raised $4,000. We spent it in 2017. 2017, the end of 2017, last year, we raised $5,000. Thank you very much, church, that we would use for benevolence needs, compassion needs, first and foremost for people in our church, but it could extend beyond that. And then if we didn't use it all up by the end of the year, we had to spend the fund. We couldn't save the fund. We had to spend it. We'd spend it on outreach to reach people out here in the community that may have spiritual needs. And so we're doing that again. We're just starting it right now. Because we're a church that wants to give a lift to other people, especially in our midst. A little report on what happened so far this year, 10 months. There's 5 families within our church alone. And we're not a very big church, okay? We've got like 75 households or families in our church, okay? We average about 100 people on Sunday, 90 to 100 people or so right now. We helped 5 people. We raised $5,000. And nearly all of that money was used to help people in emergency needs in our church. Thank you for your generosity, church, for doing that. And we would like to do that again by the end of the year is when we close it out, and then we spend that money next year. We don't put an amount on it. I'm just telling you what has come in the past. We'll leave that up to God. And so we'll help people with their material needs. Well, in addition to that, though, obviously there's weekly meals that are going to Union High School. I was just talking to Judy, that weekly ministry where they started out with 20 kids right here that God has opened doors to help with kids and their families. It's extended now to 40 to 60, 40 to 50 kids now that you're serving a meal to every week in their Connect program. There's assistance that's been given by people out here in the congregation to other people with specific needs like Nellie and Hazel did for me. There's these funds raised for disaster relief efforts that we did last year. We didn't do so much of that this year. Generosity Feeds event, which we did. I know a number of you gave extra money for that. The Thanksgiving baskets that we're accumulating right now, about $700 worth, $30 will help one family that's connected to this school that's in transition or struggling financially. And you have the opportunity to help with that. That's not money that's coming out of the Christmas offering, just other ways in which you, church, are giving a helping hand, helping people, important ways that you're doing this through just generosity. And again, I just want to express to you how awesome that is. Rich Weir wants to come up right now, and do I have a mic I can get? He's going to share just briefly about his experience here. You want to get that?
Is it on?
You got it.
Well, I don't know if I was included in them 5 families, but I was. I haul the trailer for the church every week, or most every week.
Yep.
And about 4 months ago, started having transmission problems with my truck. And I tried to carry that burden myself for a couple months, really sweating it out, stressing about how am I going to get this thing fixed? They're talking a couple $1,000 or even more. And finally one night, I gave it to God. I just backed off and I gave it to God. I said, if you want me to pull your trailer, it's your church, it's your trailer, this is yours, I don't know what to do. And a couple days later at the men's meeting, Dave just happened to bring up, hey, how's your truck doing? And instead of just saying, oh, it's fine, like I usually do, I told him, I don't know how much longer it's going to last. And through the church and a couple other people here that I just found out about 2 days ago, we spent the $4,000 and fixed my truck.
I think the contribution from the church was around $2,500, but you paid the remainder of that. But
right.
I think it was a big fix.
It was a big fix.
And he was going to be without wheels, and so.
Yeah. But the people, as soon as I gave it to God, it just seemed like a big weight lifted off of me. And as soon as Dave brought it up, I could just see the things working. And God was just like, just sit back, let it happen. And with the people who gave in the church, they say that you store up treasure in heaven, but I believe you also store up treasure here because people see it.
Yeah.
I see it. I've seen everything just come together. And I want to say thank you very much to the people that I know now who really helped out. And I really
give it up for him.
It.
Yep. Praise God. Awesome. So you see what you've done? Generosity, that helping hand, it's all from God. We get it from God, and he propels us to want to give, to want to help other people. And we reach down and do that, and it's this lift up, see? And Rich is one of the, you know, awesome servants around here, coupled with so many, all of you, you know, that get out and serve and try to, you know, bring the name of Jesus to more people, making him known. That's our mission for so many people. So thank you, Rich. Appreciate that. All right, let's look at the second way generosity helps people. Generosity helps people with spiritual needs. Not only does generosity help people with material needs, we need to understand that generosity, financial giving, helps people spiritually. Well, how does that work? What do you mean? Well, look at one verse here back in, well, a couple verses back in Luke. Now, this will be on your sheet, not up here, the total verses, but let me read this, and if you want to follow along on your notes. After this is Luke chapter 8, verse 1. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming, notice this, proclaiming the good news about the kingdom of God. Same thing we're doing today. Jesus started this thing. It's his church, right? The branch is his. And he's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God so people can come to know God and live forever, okay? And so the 12 were with him, but look what also Luke records. Not just the 12, and also some women. Look up, women. Yeah, look at women. Also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. And he names three of them. Look at that. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. She might have been a woman of some means, by the way. Okay? Susanna, and then many others. So he names three, but then there were many other women that were traveling with the itinerant Jesus and his band of disciples. And look what it says they did. These women, and this is what's on the on the screen, these women were helping to support, that's financially support, them out of their own means. And Jesus was doing something very spiritual. Now, he'd go around and help people materially too, and he'd heal and he'd do some things to help people, but he was there to preach and proclaim the kingdom of God, this good news that we can be freed from our judgment due to our sin. We can get out of jail forever, you know, by what Jesus did. And so that's a spiritual need. Look at Philippians chapter 1, where Paul, that church planting apostle, says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Now, these are the Christians at Philippi. This church was not known to be a wealthy church. Okay? This church was one of the poorer churches among the churches in that day. But Paul mentions this, in all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership. That's a financial partnership, friends. The partnership that they had with him. They'd send him money from the very first day until now when he was in prison in Rome. This church supported him financially for the spiritual needs of people. When you support the work of God, like through the branch, you know, we have our benevolence. When you support the work, you're supporting this idea that people are going to come to know Jesus and make him known. They're going to turn into missionaries for the greatest cause on the planet. This cause of getting everybody to go to heaven. So that the day they die, they wake up in heaven. They don't deal with an eternity apart from God, an eternity of judgment for what they've done wrong. Jesus takes that away from us. That's what we know about in the cross. That's why we took communion, to remember that, to recenter ourselves. So when you give, that's what happens. So when I first came to, like I say, my second awakening, and I started to learn more about Jesus, and I wanted to understand more from the Bible, I went to a church. And that church had some ability for me to learn the Bible, to teach me, to grow spiritually. And you know what? That church existed. And it existed before me for a long time. You know why it was there? In part, and why they could do what they were doing, why I could be informed. You know why? Because people were giving financially, generously, to the church to make sure that the gospel would be able to go forward, that the good news about the kingdom of God could be proclaimed in the area that church existed, which happened to affect me. You know what your funding does for the branch? It helps people connect to God, their creator, the ruler of their life. They might not know it, but that's what it does. Thank you for giving to kingdom work. Thank you. Thank you for your generosity if that's where you're at. Thank you if you're considering right now stepping it up. Thank you if you're considering, hey, I got to get into this. I got to figure out how to do this more because it matters to people like me, to people that are in this room, by the way, to people that have come to Christ. There's been over 20 recommitments to Christ, and I think we're at 16 baptisms into Christ just in our 3 short years. That doesn't count the numbers of people that have found a home and are growing in their faith right now, where God is making a huge difference in them and the people they influence. In part, it comes from funding. Funding from you and me to try to keep that going. And so we have a mission chart I'm going to put up here on the screens. Look at this more closely. And so this has been our chart for 3 years. So since we've got to get to maturity. Right now, there are people that support us. This year, $45,000, I think it is, in 2018, I believe it is. One of them is a church down in Fort Worth. That's where Kyle Davies, our church planting resident, an associate pastor here, is. He is down there speaking to some leaders of this giant church down there, 400 to 500 leaders, this afternoon, representing church planting that church is engaged in. They're trying to raise, in this month, $30 million to take the gospel to the ends of the earth as best they can. $30 million, okay? That's what they're doing. We're part of recipient of that $30 million. Small part. Really small part. But our goal is to become a self-supporting church. We're into this 3 years. We're in the 2018 category, and we're trying to reach the 80%. To reach the 80% this year, if we're, you know, God blesses us to be able to do that, we still have to raise $41,000 before the end of the year. We're on a fiscal calendar year. So we did this last year, remember? And in the last month, there was this boom. We reached the 65%. Now, this is a big jump, I understand. And the Christmas offering will be part of that $41,000 to get to the $160,000, which is the 80%. And then we grow from there to reach our self-support or maturity goal. And along with that will come, at some point in there, self-governance. Okay? Because right now, I've got a boss, and I report to a board. And they look over everything, okay? Every month, they look over everything. So we're very accountable in our system, our network of church planting. You can depend on that. So anyway, that's where we are. This is part of where we're going. So this is meeting the spiritual needs of the East County community as best we can, as God would use the branch community to do so. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for what you're doing generously to this point. You know, we're considered a successful church plant. All right? 3 years in, we're a successful church plant, and we're already spinning off another church, and some of you are going to cross town to Salmon Creek to be part of another church at the end of next year. And so God is using you in a great, great way. Let's look at the third one, the third way generosity helps people. Generosity helps one's personal trust in the God who provides. Hey, now I'm going to talk more about this next week, but let's just look at one scripture that Jesus shared, that is recorded that Jesus shares. So don't worry, he said. Jesus had to tell his disciples not to worry. How many of you are like me and worry? Right? I'm in good company then. So I worry about finances, about future security, about what about this and what about that. But he says to them, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. So the general culture of the day was that way. They were worrying and running after everything, trying to secure everything that they can, you know, get enough, you know, stored up, etc. For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. We're connected to a God, a Father, who cares about us as his kids. Look what Jesus says. Here's what he says. In contrast to that lifestyle of worrying and chasing constantly, he says this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And what will happen? All these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus wants to prioritize life, which will affect our generosity factor. It'll affect our giving factor when we prioritize life. And so for me, my need for immense security and control, which is what more greediness than need, I could go so far as to say it was a love of money, which, by the way, the Bible says is a root of all kinds of evil. It isn't the only root, but it's one of them where it can get us in trouble, right? Crime often is connected to money, people wanting money that they haven't worked for, one of this, whatever. So I started to grow, you know, and I'm talking about my Top Ramen bachelor days. I started to grow, and I started to take into my heart this whole idea of the generous God and what he wants me to be like that. He wants me to be Christ-like and imitate Jesus, and he wants me to have an open hand. And so I put it this way. I started to grow my heart from the grip of greed to an open hand of generosity. It didn't happen overnight. I struggled with this, like I'm sure most people do, perhaps. I recognize God's generous gift, and I witness and experience that important life-changing help, that helping hand from Hazel and Nellie, right? And I wanted to be more like that, and my heart started to get changed. I wanted to be a lifter of others. I wanted to lift lives. I wanted to partner with God and be generous. I wanted to see his kingdom extended, the kingdom of generosity even, the kingdom of saved folks. The problem I had, though, here, friends, listen closely. The problem I had is I had a personal indebtedness and a spending pressure that I put on myself, okay, that hindered me from being as generous as I would have liked to have been at the time. It really did. It hindered me. And so I had to figure out how I'm going to trust God and give when I didn't. It was hard to manage to give more and be generous because I was upside down financially and I had had debts to pay. So just a couple of things I want to just throw out, and we'll catch this again a little bit more next year. Financial Peace University is coming up the first part of January, and some of you might want to get on board with that. Lori and I think have taken it 3 times, and it's helped us each time. Tweak finances, tweak how thinking God's way with the stewardship of what resources he has allowed us to control, really. They belong to him, but we're control. What can I control? Right now, media, the church has a subscription to that, so you can, and if you don't have a subscription, if you don't get this, just put right now media email or something like that, or invitation, and we'll email an invitation to you, and you can go on right now media, and there's over 10,000 free videos you can learn. There's a whole bunch on there. In fact, there's one whole bunch of videos called Giving Generously. It's amazing. It's an incredible amount of material that's free, that's for you. So here's what I found. I found that I could help people materially and spiritually with giving, just giving them financially, being generous. And then I found that it made me, over time, a better money manager. It really did. And again, I'll talk about this a little bit more next week. And then, you know what? And maybe this is why God wants us to wrestle financially. Some of you are wrestling financially. It's okay. I know where you are. I do too. Why does he want us to do that? It draws us closer to God. It really does. We have to trust him for the daily stuff and be like him in generosity. It requires a trust. And when we trust somebody, we're close to them. When you trust God, you're as close as you're probably going to get to him. You trust him with your life, with your stuff, with your income, with everything. You are close to God. Money, because it's got a grip on us in some way or another, friends. God uses that to help us to draw closer to Him by trusting Him with it. I'm going to invite the praise team to come up. We'll have our final song. Pray with me. Oh God, we are so grateful that You've given us this Bible that we can derive wisdom from. We can understand You better. We can grow closer to You by some of the simple things like helping others, reaching down with our hand that might be generosity. And we're talking about that first in this four different ways we can help people, lift people. Thank You for this today. Would You work on our hearts? Would You help us, God, to continue to reach out to be more like You as best we can day by day? We want to close by just saying again, thank You for Your generosity.